on behalf of Monster Cable Products, Incorporated. Your Honors, the District Court erred when it carved out and decided to summarily enforce one provision of a settlement agreement when the agreement as a whole and its enforceability are the subject of ongoing litigation between the parties in the District Court. We have argued in our brief several factors in the District Court's error. This morning I would like to simply focus on the existence of the factual issues that precluded summary enforcement of this form selection clause. And the first and most important one of those is that the parties are presently litigating the factual question of whether either of them is entitled to enforce any provision of the settlement agreement. Currently ongoing in the District Court is litigation by Monster Daddy alleging breach of the settlement agreement. Monster Cable, my client, has counterclaimed and pled an affirmative defense that Monster Daddy's breach of the settlement agreement disentitles it to enforcement of any provision.
What is this material breach that you're alleging? You know, this is the great mystery in reading the briefs. There's this allegation of this looming material breach, and we have no idea what it is.
I apologize for the unclarity, Your Honor. There are actually allegations of several breaches. The primary one that's at issue between the parties right now is paragraph 3 of the settlement agreement required Monster Daddy to abandon what we've been calling the old Monster registration. At the time of the first litigation, the 2006 litigation, Monster Daddy had pending quite a number of trademark applications, one of which was for the mark Monster for a certain class of cleaning products and solvents. The agreement between the parties was that Monster Daddy would pursue a new registration for the mark Monster, and when that registration was allowed, would abandon the old one. The new registration has been allowed, but Monster Daddy has not abandoned the old one. So that is our allegation that Monster Daddy is in breach of the settlement agreement. Monster Daddy's response to that is that Monster Cable was supposed to do something, was supposed to somehow consent to this abandonment, and because we've not done so, even though we argue that that's not a term of the settlement agreement, that we're in breach.
Well, were the factual disputes in the record before the trial judge?
Your Honor, yes. The motion to enforce was actually filed on the docket for the 2010 litigation, where the parties are litigating through a complaint, an amended complaint. We're now on the second amended complaint. Last week, the district court judge, who's now assigned to the case, heard Monster Cable's motion to dismiss some of the new counterclaims in the second amended complaint. The district court recognized in ruling on several early dispositive motions that the enforceability of the settlement agreement is the key factual dispute between the parties.
We've got this Hensley case out there that says something to the effect that if the terms are in dispute, a district court cannot enforce a settlement summarily. Is that what he did here?
Yes, Your Honor, he did enforce it summarily. Our dispute is over the continued enforceability of the settlement agreement less than its terms, although there is some dispute as to what those terms mean. But that is exactly what happened here. We have a material dispute regarding the settlement agreement, which should have precluded the district court from summarily enforcing any provision of it, including the forum selection clause.
The settlement agreement said in the event of any breach of the agreement, the district court can, the prevailing party shall be entitled to recover, including other things, attorney's fees. So doesn't that suggest that the district court can consider any breach individually?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it does.
Why not?
Because that goes to the question of whether the settlement agreement is a severable one, which again, under South Carolina law, which governs this contract, is a question of fact regarding the party's intent. And our argument is that as things stand, Monster Daddy has no right to enforce any provision of the settlement agreement because it breached first. That's bedrock South Carolina law. So the question of whether Monster Cable breached the settlement agreement by filing the California action is one that should be resolved, but it should be resolved not separately from everything else. It's one more allegation of breach between the parties that should be resolved in the ongoing litigation. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right, thank you. Mr. Gleickel?
Thank you. May it please this honorable court, counsel. Your Honor, bedrock law under South Carolina law recognizes what I think most of us were taught in basic contract law in law school, that where a contract is clear and unambiguous, the language alone determines the contract's force and effect. The language alone, if it is unambiguous, determines the party's intent. Appellant's argument jumps forward from that basic premise and assumes that the contract is ambiguous. There's no ambiguity in the party's agreement at paragraph 12.8. The agreement states the parties agree that any claim asserted in any proceeding by one party against the other shall be commenced and maintained in the United States District Court for South Carolina or South Carolina State Court of Competent Jurisdiction. The case law that is relied upon by appellant looks at what is clear in those contractual cases, dependent promises. The vast majority of those cases are construction cases, where there's an issue as to one party's requirement to pay and the other party's requirement to perform under the contract. And the issues pertain to the first breach with respect to those substantive contractual obligations. The only case, which is even arguably on point, and it's not, is an unreported case from the state court in Delaware, the O'Leary case. Now, in the O'Leary case, one of the parties, arguably in violation of the forum selection clause, commenced a case in California. The California court dismissed the case as being in violation of the party's forum selection clause. When it came back to the state court in Delaware, and there was a motion to enforce and a request for attorney's fees, the Delaware State Court, on a number of grounds, denied the motion, primarily finding that there was a unique state statute in California that party should have moved for its attorney's fees. I submit that it was at most dicta in a passing sentence where the court then referred to this first material breach. And if you take a look at footnote 24 of that opinion, it relies on a 1969 case, Hudson against D&V Mason Contractors, Inc., at 252 Atlantic 2nd, 166, the Superior Court of Delaware, again, a construction case, where the issue was whether one party was obligated to pay and whether the other party was obligated to perform under the construction contract. Here we don't have any situation.
Okay, but what happens then if, let's say we affirm the award of attorney's fees, and then the district court later finds that your party or your client committed the material breach that's alleged? Where does that leave us?
It leaves us where we should be, Your Honor, with all due respect.
If your client committed an initial material breach,
yes,
then wouldn't Monster Cable be excused from performance under traditional contract law?
Not with respect to the forum selection clause. That's an independent provision that is unambiguous on its face. Let me pose this scenario, because I think there's compelling policy reasons, particularly on the face of this contract, from a commercial point of view. If indeed appellant's argument is given any credence, then we have commercial contracts with forum selection clauses. We have contracts, settlement agreements and contracts with forum selection clauses. We have contracts with arbitration provisions. And if this argument is accepted, then counsel will be able to argue, I can proceed in state court, I can proceed in a federal court that is not within the forum selection clause, that is not in an arbitration proceeding, and I can argue that I get to proceed despite the provision requiring me in a particular form, despite a provision requiring me to arbitrate this clause, because the other party breached first. And we can't determine whether or not I'm properly in this court or not until we've litigated all the issues.
Although the parties could account for that contractually, could they not, by simply saying in the settlement agreement, notwithstanding any other allegations of breach, the parties agree that the case will be heard in the district court in South Carolina, irrespective of who commits what breach?
I believe they did.
Okay. How in the language?
Because 12.8 says the parties agree that any claim asserted in any legal proceeding by one party against the other shall be commenced and maintained in the United States District Court for the District of South Carolina or a South Carolina State Court of Competent Jurisdiction.
Well, that may be one breach by the other side, but what about the claims for their, that they say your client breached?
Well, I apologize, I'm not.
But what I'm a little concerned about is the trial judge summarily enforced this contract and awarded attorney's fees rather than making a finding that as to whether or not you had reached a complete agreement, whether or not there was a dispute over the terms, and because they claim you breached it, you claim they breached it. It's clear that they, on the forum selection clause, they went to California and they probably shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But that's not the only dispute claimed in this case.
No, it's not. And again, to put it, and I apologize, and I understand where we are. From a procedural point of view, the only issue that we are here on is a limited issue as to whether or not there was a breach with respect to the commencement and maintenance for 36 days, despite four requests that the California action be dismissed or withdrawn. That's the very limited issue.
Okay, so what you're saying is it doesn't matter if there's a material breach, if your guys did the material breach.
Not on
if
the
Monster
form.
Daddy did, that's irrelevant because the case has to be litigated in South Carolina and their claim was not.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the same argument applies to the award of the attorney's fees. That it's not litigating the underlying substantive breaches of the underlying commercial terms of the settlement agreement, but rather the violation of the independent form selection clause, the commencement and maintenance of the case in California, despite four requests that it be withdrawn, and the but-for expenses solely and exclusively resulting from that
action. So you're essentially saying that this was necessary for the district court to bring the case, to maintain it in South Carolina?
Absolutely. That's
you
our
get,
position.
You get there by severability of provision in the settlement?
Can I get there by my analysis?
Yes.
Yes, I believe we can. I believe that in addition to the face of the form selection clause itself, that the severability clause provides further objective, unambiguous intent of the parties as to the standalone effect and nature of that form selection clause. Because if we don't get there, as I alluded to, we believe that form selection clauses and even arbitration provisions will spawn satellite litigation as to whether or not we even belong in arbitration because of an allegation that the other party breached first. And that these type of clauses will be rendered effectively meaningless by an allegation that the other party breached the agreement first. If your honors have no further questions, I have nothing more to offer.
Arthur, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Small, your rebuttal?
Your honors, one point counsel made regarding the necessity of this motion to enforce was that it was necessary to somehow do something to deal with the California action. I would simply point out that by the time the motion to enforce was filed, the California action had been dismissed.
Well, that's right, but there was nothing to stop you from filing again in California.
Well, the complaint had been amended in the South Carolina action, and those issues had been alleged and pled in South Carolina in an amended complaint. So they were being litigated there, and that was foregone conclusion. They're going to be litigated and decided in the South Carolina action. So I suppose any party can breach a contract more than once, but as far as we were concerned, that was decided. Monster Daddy makes the argument that the language of a contract alone is dispositive and determines the party's intent. In response to that, I would point the court to PD Stores versus Doyle, decision of the South Carolina Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, 672 Southeast 2nd, 799. In that case, the parties agreed what the language of the contract said, but they disagreed on the scope of the meaning of that language, and the court said that is a factual question, and it precludes summary judgment. So South Carolina law is not always that the language of the contract alone is what you look at. You look at other factors too, especially when you're trying to determine the scope of a settlement agreement. If there are no further questions.
But his argument is that enforcement, the prohibition, the forum selection clause, is a standalone provision and that it's not ambiguous. And that they can enforce that now.
Your Honor, he may be correct that Monster Cable is breached. That's an issue to be decided. I don't think he can enforce it now because of all of the other issues that are going on between the parties. This is not a situation where he was moving for specific performance of the settlement agreement. We might have had a different situation had the California action not been dismissed by the time of the motion. But what was really at issue in the motion to enforce was they breached it, we get damages for that breach. And that is an issue that should be decided with, along with all the other allegations of
but
breach.
But it's a practical matter. Doesn't the forum selection clause enforcement action or enforcement motion have to be made and decided preliminarily in order to keep the case in one place, in order to have the judge say, yes, this is correct. You can't go in the future to South Carolina. You can't go in the future to Illinois or anywhere else you might choose to go. You have to stay here. I mean, isn't that the nature of a forum selection clause provision, something to cabin the parties to the location selected?
General Your Honor, that's correct. And had the California action not been dismissed, we might have been in that situation. But there are also cases where even though forum selection clauses generally sometimes do stand on their own, when a contract has been so fundamentally breached that there's simply no going forward between the parties, even those kinds of collateral clauses can be, the severability of those clauses doesn't matter. And we've cited some cases to that effect in our brief. The ultimate point, though, I think, just as a practical matter for this litigation, is that this wasn't a question of specifically enforcing. This wasn't a question of getting the California action dismissed. It was gone. This is simply a question of getting damages for the breach having been filed.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. I'll ask the clerk